Good morning, good morning. Hope everyone's having a good morning. I've noticed several times I've spoken, it's been like a dark, dreary day. I don't know what that means, but yeah, I remember last time distinctly I mentioned the rain, and sure enough, today is cloudy. But you know, I love rainy days anyway, so it doesn't bother me. But it's actually appropriate. The title of the message this morning is Dress Accordingly, and I hope you dress accordingly for this weather. We recently had Northland, some of the team members from Northland's come down and spend some time with our leadership and just, you know, us as a body, and I love when they come down because they're so good about encouraging us and just giving input into where we're at as a church. Not only do they give encouragement for the season we're about to step into, but they encourage us for the season that we're currently in. I think if we're honest, we can all admit that this season we've been in has been a little rough. I think whether it's been life events for individuals in our body, whether it's been sickness, whether it's been death in families, financial issues, or if we're honest, just that low-grade fatigue most of us has been experiencing for a while now. Honestly, I feel like a lot of this started around COVID. You know, I hate to use COVID as the scapegoat for everything, but it's true. I mean, the enemy certainly was going after just our peace, our joy, and our rest with COVID. And I think a lot of us are still struggling to get back to that normalcy, just that equilibrium that we were having before then. But I love one of the things that Tyler shared during our meetings while he was down, Tyler Hanel. He is one of the elders at Northlands. It was a phrase, and I'll throw it up here, right up here. There is no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. I love that. And actually, come to find out, Tyler Gardner, who is the worship leader up at Northlands, he's actually led worship the Sunday morning that they were down. I had an opportunity to speak with him because he was staying at our house while they were down. And so me and him were talking. He's like, oh, yeah, I told Tyler that. I gave him that. So I'm going to set the record straight this morning. It's actually Tyler Gardner that shared that. But, you know, and I'm sharing it now. So just getting passed along. But I love this phrase. It's simple and yet profound at the same time. I think we all here in Alabama can really attest to, you know, how the weather can change drastically. You know, it can go from good to bad and bad to good all in the same day. But talking about that low-grade fatigue, I think it's honestly a symptom of our Western culture. To be honest, because we really tend to pack a lot in one 24-hour period as much as we possibly can. And most of us, if we're honest, we admit we're plugging in way too much than what we probably should be. And we're just getting overloaded. There was a graph that I want to show you. This is something that David Hale shared in one of our recent leadership meetings. This is a graph done by a guy. He's a project manager. Essentially just, you know, exactly what it sounds like. And he noticed that, you know, every time they do a project, you know, it takes longer. There's other stuff that pops up. And he thought, well, I'll give a visualization to kind of show what is happening during this process. So I love it. It's great. So you start with the work around the work. And that's represented by this gray block here up at the top. And that's meetings. It's talking about, you know, the project coming up. And then you move on, and there's the work to get to the work, all right? And that's doing research for the project. But if you notice, that gray box is still in front of that pink, I'll call it pink box. So you're seeing stuff already start to stack up on one another. And then you finally get into the project. The project is that big dotted line. This is kind of like pre-project, project, and post-project right there. That big dotted line that goes around there, you get the work before the work. And that still includes meetings. It talks about, you know, setup, getting services done. And that's represented by that little orange marker there. And then finally, you get to the work, the project, the core of what you're trying to get done, you know. And so you'll notice in that little box, there's still meetings around that. There's still the actual work, but you see those green little squares in between those yellow squares, which is actually the project. Those green squares are the things that just happen to come up, bugs in the system, or unexpected things, or even just the day-to-day stuff you still have to do while you're working on this project, all right? And then you get the work beyond the work, all right? This is you know, the changes, the omissions, the little tweaks you have to do, and there's still the little things that pop up that you have to do. And then there's the work outside of the work, all right? And that's just the surprises, the things that pop up, and then the work after the work. And you see it gradually starts to fade. But it's a huge, what is meant to be just a simple project turns into something bigger. If this doesn't really, you know, resonate with you, if you ever had to do like a house remodel or something like that, stuff always pops up, you know. We did a kitchen remodel and, you know, we didn't do it ourselves. I've done projects around the house and I got tired I wanted something to hand off to someone else. I didn't want to deal with it because I know what happens. And sure enough, even though we hand it to a professional, stuff still arises. Oh, the wiring was not what we expected to be behind this drywall when we opened it up. We're having to rearrange stuff. Or that beam that you're wanting to have over the kitchen area, that hasn't come in yet. We're actually waiting on it in Panama City. You know, what we're going to have to do is we're actually going to have to get a guy down there to bring it up to us, you know. And so we're going to have to take that a day later to put it in install, you know. Things just pop up. And I think the reason I'm showing you this is just the importance. This represents just our life in general, you know. We plan things. We have things on our schedule. And things just pop up. And when we have that just mindset of cramming as much as we can in a single day, we don't allow, we don't plan for the margin. All right? We get so overloaded that, you know, when things pop up, it overloads us, you know? And so this morning, as we're talking about stepping into this new season, I really want us to, this is one of the things, I really want us to look at how to adjust for the margin in our life. We've had some prophetic words that we've recently have been talking about in our leadership. I'm gonna show you both of them, and we're going to kind of discuss these words. These are just words spoken to us over us as a body, and they really talk about the season, really the transition from the season we're in now into the new season. The first one is from Hope Church, which is a church that we sent some of our leaders up to. They're planning a new church through Hope Church, and our leadership team went up there, and we had the opportunity to just spend some time. Rather, they had an opportunity to spend some time and just you know, just honor our leaders that were planning the new church, and then the pastor, even through that honoring service, had a word he had for DCF, and I'll show you the video right here.
Pray for DCF right now, Dothan Christian Fellowship. In the first service, the Lord gave me a picture of a super bloom. It's a phenomenon that happens in desert places. It's happened a handful of times in Death Valley, and people come from all over the world, where what was previously dry and barren gets an overabundance of rain, just a major flash flood, and overnight there's an explosion of flowers, wildflowers. And it's almost like one night the land was barren, the next day it was just thick with abundance. And that's what we see for Dothan Christian Fellowship, that because you've been faithful to sow, you've truly been apostolic, you've truly sent. And it's honored the heart of the Lord. And because of that, I believe he's sending the spring rains. And he's going to fill up those low places. And it's going to cause a super bloom in Jesus' name. We thank you that promises are getting fulfilled right now. Brand new vision. Lord, as they've sown, we just thank you that you're multiplying leadership and eldership. You're multiplying just a heaven's government upon this house, Lord. What's been heavy and hard even in the last season is going to become effortless and light in this new season.
I love that. It's just a beautiful word, a super bloom. And I'm going to break both videos down after you watch them. But before we go on to the next video, Tyler Hanel, who, you know, did not know anything, hadn't seen that video or anything, he reached out to Dave like, hey, I've got a word that's just, God's been bringing back into my mind recently. It's super bloom. Does that mean anything to you? And Dave's like, well, funny you should ask. I got a video I'd love for you to watch. So I just love how God is confirming this word over us. The next video, the word I want to show, this is from a couple years ago. Tom Borsick came down and he taught, and he had something that he wanted to share during his sermon. We'll watch that video.
And this is the word that I felt like the Lord gave me. The first part, it was just a picture I saw. I saw a sunrise appearing in the distance. And I saw what was like, you know, the sun arising, and it was a new day. And it was dark, and then it came really bright. And there was a freshness on it. I felt like there was anticipation. There was excitement in what was happening. And as the sun rose, I saw a lot of people gathered to look at this. And I saw it like just the amazing light of the sun, nothing in front of it to block it, no shadows or shades. But as it came up, I saw more and more people who were standing there. Some of the people were just smiling with their eyes closed like this as the sunlight beat upon their face, loving it. People were smiling. People were amazed, some eyes closed as the sun shined on them, like I said. And then out of the blue, everyone began to cheer. And it kind of startled me for a second. Everyone began to cheer. And it startled me because I wasn't expecting that outburst because everything was so beautiful. And this is what I felt the Lord said. I believe that you're coming into a new and amazing season filled with brightness from the Lord, the warmth of his love, and praise that's going to be on your lips. And I felt like he said, get ready for startling things the Lord is that he's going to do, unexpected things that he's going to do in your midst. And I also heard the Lord say, and it was almost like he was laughing when he said this. He said, everything's new. And I felt one of the other things, I felt like he said, hey, short time to prepare, fix your eyes on him and set your gaze on him and to what he has to say. I felt like he said, Dothan, Alabama is a birthing center for many things. And it's time to dream again. It's time to believe again. Dreams that have been covered in the past, they're being brought up from the ground. And I saw a picture of ships that its name was Ministry going in and out of the port of Alabama. I don't even know if there's a port. There is? Okay. So the port of Alabama. And I felt like he said, this is the time. This is the time. There's a sun rising out of the darkness. And I honestly believe that for Dothan Christian Fellowship, I believe for this area, it's a birthing center. You know, I've always been amazed at the things that I've heard that started here in Dothan. Just various things. So, oh, yeah, it started at the headquarters in Dothan. Oh, yeah, the first one was in Dothan. I'm like, are you serious? Because this is a birthing center. It's always been a birthing center. Is there a hospital birthing center kind of thing? Two of them. Guys, I feel like we're on the threshold of stepping in to what the Lord had destined this time for this church, for this city. And man, I'm really excited. But let's align our hope with him, the one who gives hope. Let's toss off clothes that are inappropriate for the season. Let's put on who we are. Let's not listen, you know, to the hope thieves. I was like, is that the right word? And let's just grab onto him and let's see what he can do.
I love both those words. Both beautiful pictures. We discussed these prophetic words recently as a leadership team, talking about, you know, how they compare and just the similarities between both of them. And I think right away what we notice is that they both start off in very dark, very dry, barren places, which I think we can admit, you know, that resonates with kind of where we're at right now, just, you know, personal life at church, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions, not feeling refreshed, not feeling rested. And I love how a change happened, and that change was real quick. It went from dry to a heavy rain to a super bloom. It went from, you know, just dark. The dark, it's always darkest before the dawn, as they say. And then that sunrise, and it just hit the body. And I love how the promise of just newness, a total newness, you know, the phenomena of the super bloom, it, you know, just happens rarely, like you know, was shared in the video. And just the amazing change that happens over the landscape, just the lush, you know, just beautiful vegetation that comes up from that. And the picture with the sunrise, just instant. I love the part of the word where at once everyone just shouted for joy. And I think in this new season, I think that's going to happen. I think we're all going to, it's not going to be a question, are we in the new season yet? I think we're going to know it. I think it's going to be instantaneous for all of us. It's not going to be a question. I also love how there was nothing we could do to create the change. The change was all, it was all God. You know, it was nothing we had to strive for in order to get to. It's something that God is bringing us into. But just the promise of goodness on the other side, the newness, that everything is new, and it's like nothing that we've ever seen before. Such an encouraging word. So if you're feeling the season you're currently in, grab onto this. Grab onto this and recognize that on the other side, there is something so much better, something that we don't even fully understand or know, but guess what? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get into it. So this morning, I really want to talk about what it looks like to step into that new season, what it looks like to prepare, dress accordingly, you know. Talked about season change. I know everyone notices right now it's getting a little warmer in the afternoons. It's getting, you know, about mid-80s on a regular basis. But I notice when I go into work in the mornings, it still can be somewhat cool, you know, that maybe mid-40s or so. So I have to have a jacket, but I know I'm not going to need that jacket later on in the day because it's going to get hot fast. So it's important that I pay attention to the weather for that day so I can prepare for it. So this morning I want to talk about what it looks like for us to dress for this new season. My goal here is to really give some very practical things that we can do to prepare for that, all right? The first thing I want us to look at, this is a list of life priorities. Callie helped me with this. We were talking about, you know, what the order on some of these should be, but she straightened me out. You know, she helped me get my list in proper order because she is good like that. Now, obviously, number one, God, we didn't have any argument there whatsoever. Family, number two, because outside of that covenant I have with God, the next covenant I've made is with my wife and with my family. So that becomes my second priority below God, because my family is my first mission field. If I'm not leading my family well, if my family is not in a good place, everything else is affected underneath that. Now, church and community, these often can intertwine with family, just because if you're doing church well, your church really is your family, you know. And I love how if family isn't going well, community really can step in and they can help get priorities adjusted, you know, when we're living life together, when we're loving one another well. And oftentimes, community helps us get that health check to realize how our priorities need to be readjusted. So two and three really can intertwine well together. Excuse me. Number four, work. Obviously, everyone has to do it. It's just a fact of life. You know, we were designed to actually work. God, work isn't something that is a result of sin. It's something that we're designed to do. God intended us to work from the very beginning. He just had a very different plan. What we're experiencing now is a result of the sin, the struggle we're having. But bottom line is, you got to work, you got to pay the bills. It's just a fact of life. And then mission. And 4 and 5 really can intertwine together as well, because oftentimes our work is a sphere of influence for us. You know, just our mission is essentially just affecting our sphere of influence. It can be work, it can be family, it can be a neighborhood, be your favorite coffee house. Mural City is a big sphere of influence for this body. We have a lot of people that love going to Mural City Coffee. But I mean, just your mission is wherever God has given you a sphere of influence. I'll talk more about that later. But the next thing I want us to look at is the yoke of Christ. Now, if you're not familiar what a yoke is, I'm sure most of you are, this is a picture of a yoke. It's simply just something that sits on two animals, whether it's a horse, whether it's an oxen, whatever. They get their heads in there, and they're plowing along as a team. Now, oftentimes, you'll get two animals that aren't necessarily of the same strength or same age, so one may be more spry and can plow a little faster, but it's designed for the animals to work in tandem. So they have to adjust and work at the rate and the pace that each of them is comfortable with. So when we're talking about the yoke of Christ, this comes out of Matthew 11:28-30. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light." So I love the invitation here. It's come to me if you're weary and I'll give you rest. If you're not feeling rest, guess what? I have the answer for that. Come to me. And I love how he's offering this yoke and he says, learn from me. You know, I'm gentle and humble. I love learning from someone who's not stern and not quick to get angry when I mess up. That's not who God is. He's open-armed, come, learn, I want to teach you. And he promised to give rest to our souls. And I love how he talks about his yoke is comfortable. Guess what? This yoke was designed with you in mind. It's not something that has to be adjusted to you. It's already pre-made, ready for you, custom made for you. And I love how he promises the burden is light. And just that picture of two oxen yoke. When we're walking with the yoke of Christ, guess what? We're in tandem with the Holy Spirit. You know, we're not designed to do this work on our own. We're designed to work alongside the Holy Spirit. And honestly, he's taking the brunt of the work. All we're asked to do is just to walk in obedience alongside of him. But I wanted to look at the life of Christ this morning. I want us to look at some of the spiritual disciplines that he showed us that we can apply to our lives that give us a healthy, whole living pattern. I want us to have something that's attainable and sustainable. So I want something that's feasible this morning. You know, if you're starting a new diet or you're trying to get back into the gym, it's not advised to just go cold turkey and just go 90 miles the other direction, because oftentimes that's not attainable. You know, you can't sustain that. So I really want us this morning to look at some very practical steps that we can take to be able to take this yoke and create it, have it to be part of our day-to-day. Before we go into each discipline, I really want to kind of clearly define what I mean by discipline. You know, when we talk about physical disciplines, like if you're working out, you want to get stronger in a certain area. If you want to bench your own body weight, there's practical things you can do. You can do push-ups. You can do exercises that hit those key muscle groups that you're going to use to grow in that area to be able to do that goal. Spiritual disciplines, while they're similar to the physical disciplines, they both kind of stretch that willpower, that mental strength. Spiritual disciplines are different in that we're not accessing power that we have, that our own physical power. We're tapping into the Holy Spirit. It allows us to tap into the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, it gives us a strength that's far beyond anything that we can do ourselves. All right? So spiritual disciplines, they're habits of the mind and body, and they're a means to the end. All right? The end being having a whole healthy life with God and living, just with a loving, peaceful Savior, Jesus. That's the end goal. If we're not careful, we tend to make the spiritual discipline the end, and that's legalism, and that's not life. That's why Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, because they made those the end, and they were just having spiritual death rather than life. A great picture I love when it comes to spiritual disciplines is like the trellises at a vineyard. You know, you look at a trellis where the vines are growing up and everything, and oftentimes, you know, you look at it like, that's very pretty. You know, it's just keeping them all in a straight order. Well, that's not the design of the trellis. The trellis design at the root of what it is to create healthy, whole grapes. It's not to make them look nice and straight and, you know, have order. It's to really, the end goal is to create a robust wine to be enjoyed. And that's what spiritual disciplines are, that they're a means to the end. So some of the spiritual disciplines we're going to talk about this morning: prayer, scripture, community, taking authority in our spheres of influence, and rest or Sabbath. So, again, we're going to give some very practical steps this morning. The first one I want to jump into is prayer. So we look at the life of Christ. How did Jesus model prayer for us? It says in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now the word often here is not, the meaning is not hidden. The implication is that Jesus prayed on a regular basis. And I think I growing up have had a lot of ceremony around prayer. You know, it just feels like it's just this grand thing you got to prepare for. And I think we fail to recognize what it is at its core. Simply just talking to God. And I mean that literally, just talking to God. Oftentimes we're using prayer to ask for help when we're in trouble, or to thank him when he comes through for us. But honestly, how often are we just simply having conversations with God? You know, I haven't been blessed to hear the audible voice of God. I know some people who have. I long for that, but oftentimes when God is speaking to me, he's using scripture, he's giving me pictures, he's giving me words, he's actually speaking through others to me. And the way that we hear from God is simply giving him space to talk. There's something about being intentional, about making that space, you know. It's not like, you know, if you had God's personal cell number and you gave him a call, it's not going to go straight to voicemail. It's not like he's going to send you a text, hey, can I call you or talk to you later? God's desire is always to be speaking to us. He's always wanting to give us guidance and direction, but oftentimes, like I said, we're not giving him enough time for him to talk back. And prayer is something you can do anytime, anywhere. There's something very important about getting away and allowing, you know, just getting away from the distractions, essentially, and giving God space. You know, the verse says that Jesus withdrew to the lonely places and he prayed. Jesus was very intentional about, stepping away and just making time to be with God, and he often did it in nature. He could have easily asked if he could borrow a room for like 30 minutes, an hour, a couple hours, whatever, but he was very intentional about getting away and getting in nature to be with his Father. And I think, you know, one practical reason he did that was just, you know, when you're in nature just points back to God, so it's easy to hear God when everything is just pointing you back to him. I know not everyone has the luxury of being able to take a walk in the woods. I realize that. But I think that the core here this morning, the core of this is just making that time and space to be free from distractions. You know, I love Mark William shared an app with me. It's called Pause. I'm not being paid by Pause to talk about this. I just want to share this morning. It's just a practical tool that I really love. It's an app that you can download, and essentially what it does, it allows you to set timers during the day. You can do a couple, you can do once, and it's simply just a notification on your phone, hey, take a pause. And within the app, there's different lengths of pauses that you can take. And you do, if you're being rushed, hey, I've only got time for 1 minute pause. There. And, you know, there's 5, 10, it goes as much as you want. And I love that because it's almost like a guided prayer. Like it's just, you know, calm. There's some nice, peaceful music going. And there's just someone that's just leading through you, hey, take a deep breath. Let all the distractions just kind of fade away right now. We're gonna focus on some time with God. And it's just it's a great app. So if you're struggling in creating space to be able to get away from the distraction, this may be something that you can do. Tools like this, it's not about jumping straight from, you know, a prayer life that's lacking into, you know, these hour-long sessions day to day. It really is just simply about taking some time to be alone with God. You know, I think they say 21 days to make a habit. You know, simply just taking a pause 21 days straight, that becomes to be a habit for you. You're taking time day to day to spend some time in prayer with God. And that can stretch. The longer you do it, I guarantee you, you're gonna be able to stretch in that. You're gonna be able to make more space for that. But just something practical that you may be able to do today to be able to make this part of your day-to-day. You know, Jesus prayed often alone, but he also prayed with others. There's something that happens when you come together with a group of believers united in a single purpose for hearing the voice of God and praying for one another. We do that, just FYI, we do that every Sunday morning around 9:15. We go in the back here, and we just come together and we pray together as a body, and we're hearing the voice of God. We're also hearing God for other people. So please join us during that time. I can't tell you how many often some amazing things happen during that time that reflect on what God is wanting to do in this service. So just an invitation, always open. The next discipline that kind of ties into the next discipline, community. You know, one of the things, first things that Jesus did when he started his ministry, he gathered some disciples around him, some guys that he just fed into. And guess what? They fed back into him, you know, not necessarily on spiritual matters. He was pretty well covered there, but just the practical things that come with friendship, just the love and support that comes with that. And I think the best picture I can think of involving community and how important it was to Jesus was actually when he was on the cross. You know, in John 19:27, Jesus is on the cross, and he looks at John, one of his disciples. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. And he said, John, and he said, this is my mother Mary. This is your mother. He gave the responsibility of looking after his mother to John. Now, most people don't realize Jesus had brothers. We know this because, you know, one of them actually wrote one of the books in the New Testament, James. The book of James was written by the brother of Jesus. So Jesus could have very easily handed, hey, James, take care of mom for me. He didn't do that. He handed that responsibility over to his friend. That's just how important community is to Jesus. That's how important community should be to us. You know, we understand, you know, we've talked many times from up here about how we're the body of Christ and we're all different parts of the body. We support one another. We need one another. I love how we've been doing community groups recently, you know, where we're just meeting at each other's homes. This Friday, we went over to the Revels, and it was such a good time. It was just, there was laughter, there was fun. I heard Suzette laugh in a way that I've never heard Suzette laugh before. I was in the other room getting a second plate, and like, she is literally crying from laughter. And it was something, I think it was something that Gemma did, or she made a weird face. I don't know, I can't remember, but something just got Suzette cracking up, and it caused everyone to start laughing. And it was just a great time. And there were some sweet, sweet moments that we just had, and they just happened naturally. We prayed for one another. There was people that shared some struggles they were having, and we just came around each other, and we just loved one another. And one of the sweetest moments that happened was when Jen took Gemma off to the side. She was just playing. Everyone else was at the table. Jen took my daughter, and she just sat on the couch with her, and she was just reading a book. She was reading a little book to her, and, hey, Gemma, how many fish are on this page? What color is the fish? And Gemma's responding. And it was such a sweet moment. I don't know that if Jen saw me or not, but I was just in the corner. I was just watching around the corner, watching them interact with one another. And that just, I don't know, something about that, seeing people come around my family and loving them, and just loving them well. It wasn't something that she was asked to do. She just did it, you know. We do that well as a body. I'll say we do community pretty well. What would it look like for us to do it even better? What would it look like to where those dinners together, where we're not being intentional about it, it just becomes a default for us, where we just do it automatically, where we're meeting with one another. So I think maybe just a practical step this morning is just digging deeper into that. I'm excited to see what this new season looks like for us as a community. I love one of the things that Tyler shared when he was down. He shared, the new pulpit is not going to be up here. The new pulpit will be at the dinner table. And I really think that's going to be true for us as a body. Not even just our body, just the church as a whole, global. I think things are shifting. I think we're getting back to that early church, how they gathered together. They came, they shared each other's burdens. They broke bread together. I think that's God's heart for us in this next season. All right. Scripture. Jesus at a very early age had a deep understanding with Scripture. When he was young, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem, and on their way back, they were traveling with a group. They didn't realize that 3 days leaving Jerusalem, Jesus wasn't with them. They just figured he was with family or friends. That's where he was. But when they realized he was not with them, they went immediately back to Jerusalem. Found him in the temple. He's sitting there talking to some of the priests and some of the people in the temple. This little boy is having deep theological conversations with priests, and they're just baffled at his understanding. So at a very early age, Jesus was deep into scriptures. And, in Luke chapter 4, when he goes into the desert and fasts for 40 days, and Satan comes and tempts him, using scripture. So don't be surprised if Satan is tempting you, manipulating scriptures to lead you astray. So it's important that we allow scriptures to be just an integral part of our lives, just something that we have just an understanding of what God says, because scripture is the sword of the Spirit. I think, what is it? Is it Ephesians? Yeah, it's Ephesians 6:17. It talks about scripture being the sword of the Spirit. And with swordplay, you can parry, you can thrust, you can defend and attack. It's important that we make it part of our day-to-day. And I'll be first to admit, I struggle with daily reading scripture. I allow my schedule to dictate that when I should be reversing that. I should be having my time of scripture dictate my schedule. I think, again, a very practical thing that you can do this morning. It's not about sitting down like this morning I'm reading 5 chapters of scripture. It's simply just getting in the Word. It can be short, it can be long, just getting it in on a daily basis. And like as we talked about with habits, if you consistently do that for 21 days, that becomes the norm. And as you're doing it, you can stretch that out. It becomes something you're hungering for. Because the importance of having scripture just be something that's just a part of our day-to-day is that scripture shows us the truth of who God really is. It reveals to us the heart of the Father, and it becomes, something that we can use to combat. The enemy loves to come and he loves to steal our joy and our peace. And when that happens, when he tries to attempt to steal that, we come back and we just show the truth to them through Scripture. We just say, no, my God isn't a God who gives sickness and death. He's a God that brings health and wholeness. Now, I don't have to worry about how I'm going to pay the bills, how I'm going to be able to, provide, because, God, look at the lilies of the field. Look how they're clothed. The birds in the air, they're fed. How much more is your Heavenly Father going to care for you? It's just having those truths be a part of our understanding, just bedrock that allows us to be able to combat the enemy when he comes and attacks us. Taking authority. So talking about spheres of influence. Jesus said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, the Son of Man does nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So Jesus prayed for the sick. He healed them. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He took the time for people one-on-one and spoke the truth of the word into their lives. Jesus made time for Scripture and prayer on his day-to-day, which allowed him to be in tune with the will of the Father. And when we do the same, we start to recognize the authority that Jesus has given us. All right. He told us to go and make disciples. The Holy Spirit is here to be a helper. He moves in power, and he moves through us when we let him. So we're each giving spheres of influence, our home, our work, neighborhood, just various things. And I think this morning my prayer is just for a boldness in this next season, a boldness to step in those spheres of influence. And really just, when we're using Scripture and prayer and just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, it allows us to recognize where the enemy is trying to take away in our spheres of influence. When he's coming in and trying to bring sickness and death, or he's trying to steal joy and peace and just essentially disrupt our lives, taking authority in these spheres of influence for those around us, So this morning, I just pray for a boldness as we step into this next season to be able to recognize how we've been given authority in these areas. It talks about I'm trying to remember the actual reference. The Scripture essentially is just, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violence take it by force. Dave actually talked about this morning during our prayer time. And I love how he kind of reiterated, it's not through our own work that we're taking the kingdom of heaven. It's simply just walking alongside the Holy Spirit and recognizing the authority that we have. It's not us actually fighting the devil. It's just simply, hey, guess what? You lost because of this. The Holy Spirit has authority in here. You can go now, That's essentially what it is. So this morning, I just pray that we have a boldness to recognize authority that's been given to us through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Before we get into this last discipline, I'm going to wrap it up here shortly, I just want to look at some of our life's currencies. So here's a list of our life's currencies. Financial and time, I think we easily recognize those. They're very practical things that we see every day. We know that we only have so much money in the bank. We only know we have so much time in the day. But those last two, the emotional and mental currencies, I think we oftentimes overlook. But Jesus, I love how Jesus gave a great picture. I think it's Matthew 11. Chapter 11, but essentially Jesus is teaching, and he's casting out demons. He's healing the sick for this crowd. And then all of a sudden, he just turns to his disciples and said, hey, load up. We're going to the other side. It didn't change the fact there were probably still people there that could have been prayed for. There's still people there that needed to hear some kind of encouragement or just needed something miraculous to be done in their lives. But Jesus recognized that he only had so much to give. Like, he's tired. We know that because when he got in the boat, Jesus fell asleep. He was tired. He knew he practically only had so much to give. So he knew when's like, I've only got so much to give. I have to say no. Even though that he was saying to no to some good things, he knew his limit. So I think it's okay for us, you know, we can say no to some good things when we're reaching those limits. So I think it's good for us to understand what those limits are. All right. I think we need to take good stock into our own limitations. All right. Which brings us into the last discipline, which is rest. I think this is, we often look at rest and we it's an afterthought, you know. I think we kind of get it when we can get it, when that isn't really the design around rest, around Sabbath. You know, God modeled Sabbath for us from the very beginning. You know, he designated a day just for rest, not because he needed it, but he's trying to model something for us. And I think we oftentimes don't make time for rest. Like I said, it's an afterthought. We need to really be intentional about our rest. And as we've been talking about margin and everything from the beginning, it's important that we incorporate rest into our day-to-day so we can allow for that margin. You know, Jesus had to say no to some good things, you know, just because he practically couldn't give any more. I think that's what we need to do during this next season. I think we need to look at our lives and see, like, where do we need to kind of let go so I can have more margin in my life so I can be ready for this next season? Because I know for Callie and I, we're having to look at our lives and seeing where we can prepare for more margin. Because the intention is even though we're saying no to some good things, the intention is not to necessarily back off from work. We have a very, very big, busy schedule. Toddler, a new baby on the way. I don't know if that's public knowledge. We're pregnant. But, yeah. But on top of that, Callie has a business. We're still growing. We still believe that God wants to use that business for us. I'm still working. I'm still serving. So it's not like we're not busy, you know. We're just realizing we have to adjust some things and say no to some good things so that we can be healthy and ready for this new season. So that would be my encouragement this morning. Be willing to look at your life pattern right now and just say, God, what are some things that I maybe need to say no to so I can prepare well, you know? And so all these disciplines, this is the yoke. This is the yoke that Christ is offering us. And when we incorporate this, we take this yoke that we've talked about, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to step into, to rest. It's an invitation to work, but it's an invitation to work that is not burdensome. You know, like he said in Matthew, you know, my yoke is easy, it's comfortable, my burden is light. You know, if you take this yoke upon you, you're going to find rest. You know, oftentimes we, very practical, like people that working 9 to 5 and working, you know, giving 95% everything where there's very little margin, they just get burned out. And guess what? They take a vacation. But when they get back to their life, they're right back at it. You know, it's not solving the problem. The vacation isn't reinvigorating them. It's really they're working wrong. You know, they're not learning how to work alongside like this yoke where the work is easy. You know, it's not like they're not allowing themselves to work in the pace that God has for them, which is essentially what the yoke does. So this morning, just incorporating all these disciplines in a very practical way. You know, take those first steps, do the small things, and they'll add up, I promise you. You do little things in each one of these areas, it's going to make a difference. I promise you're going to see a big difference, and it'll add up. So I love how the promise is that this new season, everything is going to be new. I'm excited about it. I really am. I love how the suddenness of it is gonna happen. So the challenge this morning, the challenge this morning, is let's take a look at our lives. Let's see what we can do to dress accordingly for this new season. What things do we need to put away? What things do we need to put on in order to prepare for this new season? Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you are a God who is very intentional. You're a God who plans, whose plans are not reactionary, that you're aware of the seasons that we enter in or about to enter in. And it's all part of your plan, God. We ask that this morning that we are obedient in hearing what we need to do to prepare for this next season. We're excited for the goodness, for the rest, the joy that we will be experiencing in this next season. We say yes to it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. Just real quick as we wrap up this morning, Karen and I were at a pastor's retreat this last week in connection with some of the leaders up in our one of the relating churches that we're connected with. But it was really interesting when we talked about, Dave showed these videos of the words that we have. We've had so many words about, again, something happening suddenly. And I love that Dave brought out the fact that there's nothing you know, in both of those words, and there's others, there's nothing that you can, in that you can control what God does. You know, it's dark and then it's light, and God made that happen. It's barren, and then it's fruitful, and God made that happen. So you can't control it, but part of what Dave was saying this morning is you can prepare for it. And prepare means to pare ahead of time, so to trim, to cut, to do things ahead of time. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't do that, like Dave said, you're going to end up going into this new season dressed inappropriately. I don't know if most men in here, you've walked out of your closet at some point, and if you're married, and your wife said, "Are you going to wear that?" Amen. And what she's really saying is that's not appropriate for what we're about to do. And so you go back in. If you're a wise man, you go back in. First you ask her, well, what should I wear, right? And then you go in and change. And I think so many ways the Lord's doing that. So some of that in big ways are, again, saying no. And the scripture, Dave talked about rest, and I want to encourage you with this. When you see the first rest happen, there's been the 6 days of creation. God creates man. He creates a garden. He creates the environment. He creates everything. He's ready. He's prepared. And what's the first thing that God says that they're going to do? Anybody know? We're going to rest. God doesn't need to rest. These guys just got created. They're not tired yet. They haven't even started, right? And yet he says, I want you to rest. So rest is more than just getting over being tired. It's helpful to understand that, and Dave touched on that. If you just quit, you know, if you go on vacation, you come back to the same rhythm and the same pace that you left, that vacation is not going to help you at all. So I want to challenge you. The Bible talks about rest being something that you do on the front side of the week. It says when he created, he said the first day was evening, then morning. Not morning, then evening, right? We work for the weekend, and then we party like a rock star during the week with work and craziness, and we get to Saturday and we try to make up for something that week that has to be done on the front side of the week. So I just want to encourage you. Everything I love, Dave's so practical. I'll preach up here and, you know, theology and, you know, all that stuff, and Dave just comes down like, you know, if you would just pray, here's an app. And I was like, I need that app. So I just want to encourage you. So we go into this next season for a church. What we're finding is it's a catalyst for everybody else in the same season, right? So God's challenging you through Dave and through the ministry to really begin to take some of these things into play and adjust your margin, prepare, do it ahead of time, sit down and be intentional. Say, I'm gonna take this on in this new season. Do that for your family. Do that, and listen, you guys are going to tell us no. As a church leadership team, we're going to go, hey, we'd love for you to do this. And in all of your honesty before the Lord, as much as you think, you know, you would love to help, sometimes you just need to say no. Can I just say this? Don't automatically say no to ministry and serving. Bring that before the Lord and let him, like Dave said, let him put those priorities in place so that you can really be doing the thing that Lord called you to. Amen? Good stuff this morning. We've got words up here. We always put these up here. If those resonate with you, we do this so that we can help connect and see a catalyst occur so we can pray with you. And also, if you just need prayer, we'd love to pray for you this morning. Our team's going to be up here. Hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday.